Well, everybody's heard about the bird.
This is KWMR Point Wave Station.
KWMR is supported by our listener members and by Good Earth Natural Foods, online at genatural.com. That's genatural.com.
Local programming for KWMR is provided by listener members and by Point Reyes Books, online at ptreyesbooks.com. That's P-T-R-E-Y-E-S books.com.
This is Epicenter on KWMR, West Marin Community Radio. Epicenter is rebroadcast Monday through Thursday at 5 p.m. featuring a wide array of community and public affairs. Today, I am engineering and hosting Supervisor Dennis Redoni, who joins us and has every Wednesday for the last millennia. Hello, Dennis. Welcome to the airwaves and a belated happy birthday to you.
Thank you, Amanda. Very sweet. Good morning to everyone. How are you doing today?
I'm good. We're making good. Some money down here, keeping the station going, having fun, all hands on deck. It's great. Really good fun.
Good. Well, good luck with your pledge drive. And during my shows this month, or as long as the pledge time goes on, I'd be happy to match up to $250.
Woohoo!
So please put the challenge out to all the listening audience. So I want to start today with my Tuesday to Tuesday. I have quite a bit of information today to run through. We don't have any guests today, so you have to listen to me during the whole half hour. So I'll try and include some interesting subject matter. The Tuesday to Tuesday COVID update, we're at 11,323 total cases in Marin. That's 102 cases over the last week, about 1%. It's up a little bit from 74 the week before. One more death in Marin. We now have 171, and that's, again, is 1%. Tests completed. Another 10,000 tests were completed, taking us up almost to 400,000, actually 396,000 tests that we've done in Marin. Last 14 days, that number of cases is down to 155. That's kind of, again, refers to the active cases. That's down 35% from a week ago, and that number continues to fall. Total hospitalized to date, 348. Currently, there's 11 people in the hospital and 5 people in ICU. Again, that hospital number has fallen about 3 over the last week, or 21%. In California, we've reached 3,650,000 cases. That's still up 36,000 cases over the last week. And we've reached 57,877 deaths. That's up 1,190 from in the last week, or about 2%. That number continues to fall, that death number. It was 2,000 a week ago. Good news is that we've moved this number down, but we're seeing a little bit of a plateau, which is a little bit of a concern going forward. And Dr. Willis last week in his report to the board again reminded everyone that the next 4 weeks will be very crucial in how we achieve a low level of positive rates and how we can move forward. He is concerned about some of the variants that are showing up, and that there is a high risk of people that still could get this virus, because we're only about approaching 50% of the people who have one shot at this point, one vaccination. Again, skilled nursing care and residential care facilities are just flat, no new cases. The death number remains at 132, and that's been constant over at least a month. In West Marin, we have 180 total cases. That's up 4 in the last week. Point Reyes Station, Inverness, Dillon's Beach, 73, Woodacre, San Geronimo, 32, Lagunitas and Nicasio, 33, Bolinas, Stinson, 39. Again, West Marin's still doing well, although that caseload of 4 is fairly high given our population. But we're also having a lot of outreach related to continued testing and also opportunities for vaccinations. Along the vaccination front, we've reached the milestone of 100,808 first doses, and that's 47.5% of the population that's eligible. They did shift some of the data. So if you're seeing the data shift and the percentages go up on this this data chart, it's because now they're basing it on the eligible population in Marin, which is not 260. It's actually 212,085 of those that are eligible for the vaccine, taking out everyone 18 and younger. But those vaccination numbers continue to go up. There was an increase of 15,000 in the last week of people who got their first shot in their arm. So that's a good news. And even Dr. Willis is starting to talk about by the end of May, he thinks we can get through most of the population in Marin and have one shot. So that's the COVID update. And I did want to remind anyone, if you're 65 and older and still need a vaccine shot, your first shot, and you're having trouble getting to an appointment, we'd like to hear from you. So please reach out to my office, because it's really important that people 65 and older continue to get their vaccinations. The good news is yesterday it was announced, and today we're moving into the orange tier, which changes a lot of the amount of business that can be completed and done in our stores and restaurants and things. So restaurants and grocery stores now can go to 100% capacity. Again, face coverings are still required. Social distancing is still required. Restaurants, indoor dining can now expand to 50% or 200 people, whichever is fewer. Movie theaters and museums can now go to 50%, 200 people. Or 200 people. Houses of worship can expand indoor capacity to 50% or 200 people, whichever is less. Weddings and funerals are allowed to be indoors now, 50% or 200 people, whichever is less. Family recreation and entertainment facilities can expand indoors to 25% capacity. Gym and fitness studios can expand indoors to 25% capacity. And reopen indoor pools. Breweries and wineries that do not serve food can expand indoor capacity to 25% or 100 people, whichever is fewer. And bars that do not serve food can operate outdoors. And non-essential offices can reopen, but working remotely is still encouraged. And high education can be expanded indoor capacity to 50% for indoor lectures. So a lot of good news on the tier front. There is some expectation we could move to yellow by the middle of April. We need to stay in the orange tier for at least 3 weeks. And so we know the soonest that we will be able to move into yellow would be the middle of April. I wanted to give some updates from the board meetings over the last month, and in particular from yesterday. Yesterday, we did begin the process of signing an MOU with the state governing vaccines and the vaccine administration. That's the transition to TPA and Blue Shield. We are still working on negotiating that agreement because we're trying to keep some local authority about how the vaccines are distributed. And so we hope to finish that contract by the 31st of March. We have been told that we do risk not having any vaccines after the 31st of March if we're not, haven't signed that contract or not in the middle of good faith negotiations. So we'll continue that. We'll hopefully wrap it up by the 31st of the month. Exciting news yesterday, the county approved participation in the Marin Community Foundation's 24-month universal basic income demonstration project. You've been hearing a lot about these. I think Oakland adopted one yesterday. I know San Francisco is looking at it, and Fresno recently completed a 2-year project. And this is a project that will provide low-income women with children, 125 of them, $1,000 a month for 24 months. And this is money that they can spend as they see fit. And then they'll be tracked and data collected to see what are the advantages of this type of program. What it really is about is investing in your community ahead of time before they need many, many other services, and trying to get them on a track to being successful. So stay tuned for that. County is excited to be part of that. or Marin Community Foundation is contributing $3 million to this effort, and the county is contributing $400,000 for this effort to help with wraparound services for these clients to make sure that the services they don't have aren't lost because of this additional income, and also to backstop should some of these services be lost because of this additional income. So it's quite a collaborative effort between the County of Marin Health and Human Services and the Marin Community Foundation. Yesterday, we appointed Morgan Patton as the new representative to the Marin-Sonoma Mosquito and Vector Control District. West Marin has a seat on that board, and I was pleased to appoint Morgan Patton, who you know is the executive director of EAC and very active in the Mosquito Council for West Marin. Moving on to other board matters that we've completed this past month, I wanted to just mention that in February, the county rolled out the revised streamside conservation ordinance for the San Geronimo Valley, and that's out in the public now, wanting to hear feedback from the public. And there will be community outreaches going on with a facilitator to roll that program out. It only applies currently to the San Geronimo Valley, and it is based on all the environmental work that's been done over the last 7 or 8 years, including the recent environmental update that we did at the county. And it's exciting because it allows for new things to happen, modest additions up to 500 square feet to existing structures. It does limit new development on vacant lots unless strict criteria are met. And it also limits the option for streamlined review of minor projects. So there's a lot of good things in that ordinance, and it's on the county DPW website if you want to look it up. Earlier this month, we also announced the hiring of a new DPW director. Rosemarie Gillion is an environmental engineer and was the public works director for the city of Oxnard, and now is the new county public works director, replacing Raul Rojas, who was here for 5 years. Rosemary is as I said, an environmental engineer. She has a degree from Cal Poly in water projects, solid waste, water service, including recycled water. And we're glad to have her on board, and we're looking forward to working with her, and hopefully we'll get her onto my radio show at some point.
That would be great.
In the near future.
What a great hire. What really good. I read all about her, and I am so impressed, Dennis.
Good, good. Yeah, we're very, very lucky to have wonderful applicants for all of our top jobs, and we're very, very lucky to make really good choices, and I'm really happy to have her on board. Would you like to give a pledge announcement at
this
point?
Yeah, I do.
Amanda?
I mean, I'm not going to give out the phone number because I can give out the phone number right now, but if you're listening to this in the 5 o'clock spot or on the archive on our homepage, or maybe you're getting it in the weekly email that comes out on Friday mornings with all of the epicenters, then that's not a good time to call. You can just go to kwmr.org. We are in our pledge drive through the 28th in the evening, and we have a goal of $40,000 to raise that money. You can call Jeff right now, though, 415-663-9050. If you are listening in the morning. Otherwise, head on over to kwmr.org, and Dennis will match your contribution up to $250 for Epicenter. And this is, we've raised $27,114 towards our $40,000. We are at 68% of our goal, and we need you to help us get there. So we look forward to folks participating in this pledge drive and contributing whatever you can. If it's not very much, that's fine. Every penny counts.
Thank you, Amanda. Also, earlier this month, we did sign another contract to start a room key project in San Rafael at Motel 6. This was in the contribution came from federal FEMA dollars for $1.4 million to sign a contract to provide rooms for our homeless population during the COVID pandemic. And I know this will go through September, And this is very fortunate for the county because we have a lot of homeless people that are on our street who need to be sheltered and protected from the virus. But more importantly, we did shut down the room key program a couple months ago. And while we did house a lot of the people that were in the program, we weren't able to house them all. So this would be an opportunity for them to come back, have housing, have wraparound service, and hopefully be on their way to finding permanent housing. The reason we didn't proceed with Home Key after we did close down the program was because we have a high confidence in our Home Key project and our whole person care projects that we really want to house people permanently. Housing them temporarily doesn't usually solve their problem and also creates sometimes additional problems for our homeless people. But we do have 40 rooms plus available in San Rafael, and we believe that'll be ample to handle the people that are willing to move off the street and into a motel for the next few months.
Dennis, I have a question about that. I mean, it seems to me that there has been more movement towards homeless services during the pandemic than was ever considered before, even though there have been people on the streets and people without homes for a long time.
Yeah, the pandemic was really the driver, Amanda. It allowed us to do a lot of things that we otherwise would take a long time to do. And one of the things that happened was the state of California and the federal government put a lot of money up front because they knew that as part of the pandemic, this population was very, very vulnerable and needed to be protected. And it was about protecting the homeless people, but it's also about protecting our community, because if virus outbreaks take place in these communities, they're going to spread to all our communities. And so that was really the focus. And you're right, the COVID pandemic allowed government to step up in many ways and move more quickly to address the potential outbreaks. And, you know, most of the programs have been very, very effective, including homeless programs, including outreach programs that we've done in targeted communities like the Canal, targeted communities like communities in West Marin and Nevada.
This is an FCC required monthly test of the emergency alert system. It is being done in conjunction with a NOAA weather radio test of the National Tsunami Warning System. If this were an actual tsunami warning, the National Weather Service would instantly broadcast this information via all available means to inform coastal areas of the impending hazard. This is only a test. This concludes the required monthly test of the emergency alert system.
We did purchase two in Marin, one at Casa Buena in Corte Madera that is actually up and running now with 9 individuals in it on a temporary basis until they move to permanent housing later in the fall. And then in San Rafael on Kerner Boulevard, where there are temporary housing now for a number of people who had to move out of Mill Street while that's being remodeled and eventually will turn into 40 plus permanent housing units. So these projects are about the COVID pandemic, but they're also about long-term, because we have to guarantee 55 years of affordable permanent housing with these contracts that we're signing with the state.
And so it's a great opportunity. And I think the wraparound services seem to be some of the most valuable to really kind of create a place where people can be whole and move their way out. I mean, we know that some people are choosing that lifestyle and they want to remain independent. But I think that a lot of folks, you know, it's a scary thing to be out on the street. And a lot of people would like to get back into a more, you know, solid and permanent situation.
Yep. That's a difficult difficult decision for a lot of people, and it has to be done on an individual basis. It has to be that homeless person wants to take advantage of the opportunities. Our HHS people do a lot of work, conversations with homeless people, just getting them prepared to even make that choice. Because as you mentioned, a lot of people want to be out on the street or choose to be out on the street for a variety of reasons. And it's difficult sometimes to change their mind that there may be a better path for them. And they have to make that choice. We have very few mechanisms to actually move people or get them into programs. And that's very limited. So it's really just through conversations, developing relationships, showing them what's available for them. And in most cases, our Housing First initiative, I think, is 95% successful, meaning that 95% of the participants, which are over 300 now, are still in housing and still in programs. That we've only had about a 5% failure, which is really, really low when you're considering this population. So the county's done a really, really good job, and that's why they really want to focus on long-term permanent and not so much short-term. But we are taking advantage of this Room Key project because it's available and it's paid for by the federal government. And we do know we have individuals on the street that we need to get at least temporarily housed and provide food and services to them. But it's the wraparound services in these programs that really make it successful. I think that every 10 or so of these individuals have a case manager that works with them, that checks in with them weekly, daily, whatever it takes to make them, to give them the tools to be successful. And we're really, at the end of the day, we're spending less money doing this than we would when people remain on the street and continue to demand emergency services or visits to the hospital or other costs that people don't always recognize. Yeah.
But preventative measures are generally a good way to go.
Yeah,
Dennis, I was wondering if you could give a little bit of an update. I'm slightly confused about the status of the renaming of Sir Francis Drake Boulevard, and I'm curious if you can sort of give us an idea of where we are with that.
Yeah. So we actually went to the board with recommendations to the whole board. The reason Supervisor Rice and I did that is because our next step is to go back to the working group, which includes the cities and towns that are directly connected with Sir Francis Drake, that we started last July, to have a discussion about next steps. So what we asked the board for was to give us two recommendations to go forward with. One was a legal renaming of Sir Francis Drake, meaning it would have two names rather than one. We did decide that we do not want to change the name Sir Francis Drake, but we are willing to consider adding a second legal name, which means that anyone along the route could choose either one for their address. And the second recommendation was to look at a honorary historical name that would be in addition to Sir Francis Drake. And one of the reasons why we worked on these recommendations was that, as you may have heard, that the cities both really went in different directions. Two of them decided not to change the name. One of them decided to change the name. The other city decided not to make a decision. While they decided to change the name, the city of Larkspur said they would entertain having a second name or a historical name or an honorary name. And so Katie's and I's vision this whole time has been to do one name throughout the whole highway. And so while Sir Francis Drake looks like it will not change except for Fairfax, perhaps, we want to offer a suggestion that we have a second name, either legal or honorary, which is continuous throughout the route. And that's our goal. So we're meeting in a week or two with the working group to see if we can get everyone to a consensus about how we would move forward. Our recommendation, I believe, will be to move forward with an honorary name continuous throughout the route. And any city can decide at any point in the future when they want to move to that second name. And my preference is, and I say it's mine because I don't want to speak on behalf of Supervisor Rice, would be to go to the Coastal Miwok people and the Great Rancheria people and ask them to pick that honorary name, because I think it came in this process, it became very clear to us that honoring the Miwok, Coastal Miwok, is something that most people are in agreement with.
Right. So that would be sort of like El Camino Real. I mean, there's lots of other roads that are part of El Camino Real. I mean, Highway 1, God forbid you live on that road. Try to get anything delivered to, is it Highway 1? Is it State Route 1? Is it Star Route 1? You know, it's like got so many, many different names.
Yep. So hopefully this will bring us to some point of some conclusion, but we'll keep you updated. But that's where we're at now, is to try and get back with the working group and come up with something that everyone can agree on. I don't think it's going to be a legal name, because since we made that second legal name, we made that proposal, we realized that there's a lot of issues related to that and a lot of confusion related to that. And I think that would cause more problems.
Yeah, don't throw anything else at the Postal Service at this point in time.
That's exactly right, yeah.
God forbid. I've heard about DeJoy's reforms, and I was listening to public radio yesterday. I was doing some work, and I laughed. I mean, it just, I feel bad for them, but it's sort of like, yeah, the mail may be a few days slower. It's like, good Lord, you know, I don't know what to say. They are looking for a bailout, I think, is where they're going with that one.
Sure. Yeah. And often, way too often, government thinks they're simplifying things and we make it more difficult. So we want to be sensitive of what anything we do, the long-term impacts. I did want to talk a little bit in the last minute or two to talk about the rental assistance program. We just signed a contract for $250,000 with a company called Uncork to provide a software that we thought was going to be the answer for the rental assistance program. We, as you know, we have many, many people on the list, maybe as many as 4,000. Calling each one and getting information transferred is not an easy thing, but this software that we just signed up for was going to be the answer. People could actually transfer documents by taking a picture with their phone and doing it online, and very, very much made life simpler, because we have a lot of money. We have over $60 million to get out, 60% of it by the end of June and the balance by the fall. And so we have a ton of money to get out to people, and we know there's over 4,000 people waiting for money. And the system crashed yesterday. So late into the day and late into the night, they've been working to try and fix that. I can't tell you it's totally fixed right now. I know it's three quarters fixed, and you can make application on the website. But by the end of the day, we're pretty confident we're going to have all the kinks worked out. And you can sign up at rentalassistance@marincounty.org. rentalassistance@marincounty.org. That's the website. And you can still call 473-2223. And you likely will get a live operator, I hope. But if not, you'll be asked to leave information, and then they'll add you onto the list. They're asking that you not call more than once, though, because duplicate applications, duplicate calls will just add time to the people that they're trying to respond to. As I said, we have $18 million available, or $16 million available currently between the state and federal government contributions. And we have good indication that there's going to be more coming from the current Biden Act that just got passed. And so we think we're going to be doing really well. So our challenge is to get that money out. And so we're working really hard to do that. The state of California put a restriction on that if you accepted their money, you have to follow their guidelines with all the money for rental assistance. So that means that even the federal money has to follow the state guidelines. And one of the things the state required, and I do believe this is a good deal for landlords, but I know there's some resistance there, is that they get 80% of the back rent for a year, but they have to write off 20%. And so I know landlords are struggling with that. This is a good deal, and I encourage landlords that if they have back rent.
Yeah, if somebody said to me, you can have nothing, or you can have 80% of your pledge drive goal, I would take 80% of my pledge drive goal, and I would make it work. Yeah. Right now we're at 68%. That is at 10:27 a.m. here on Wednesday. And folks can make a contribution by going to kwmr.org. Dennis, I thank you so much for taking the time today. We've used it all up. Can you believe it?
Terrific. Well, I had a bunch of stuff piled in front of me to make sure I had enough material.
And you had plenty.
I did, and I had extra.
Looking forward
to next week when we bring some guests back. So.
Yeah. Thank you, Dennis. Have a great day.
Yep. Pledge. Everyone pledge, please.
Bye. Epicenter is a series dedicated to community and public affairs in West Marin. If you have ideas for topics, email programming at kwmr.org. Epicenter is rebroadcast at 5 p.m. every Monday through Thursday, and you can stream the audio archives of Epicenter shows on our homepage, kwmr.org.